Since 1987, Oregon has been a sanctuary state. Oregon sanctuary law prohibits state and local law enforcement resources from being used to aid federal immigration authorities if an individual's only crime is being in the U.S. illegally. This summer, anti-immigration groups qualified a measure for the November ballot, now known as Measure 105, that, if passed, will repeal Oregon sanctuary law. We'll be talking with opponents of Measure 105 tomorrow. Today, our guest is a supporter of the measure, Cynthia Kendall of the group Stop Oregon Sanctuaries. Good morning, Cynthia. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me.
So, going back to the very beginning, how did your group get its start? Where did you actually start organizing to repeal the sanctuary law?
Well, OFIR itself, which is a statewide, Oregonians for Immigration Reform, is a statewide organization founded in the year 2000, and we work exclusively, independently to stop illegal immigration and to try and reduce legal immigration. And we look for, work with the legislature to try and pass legislation. We have done a citizens' veto referendum to repeal the driver's card bill that the Oregon legislature passed, and we were successful doing that. We're always looking for ways to dial back policies that make it easier for people to be here illegally, and that's where ORS 181A820, which is the statute we're working to repeal, comes into play. It basically ties the hands of law enforcement officials in cooperating with federal immigration authorities. And we've had many, many law enforcement officials tell us it would be so nice to be rid of this. It's confusing. It's complicated. It's followed differently by different sets of law enforcement officials. Instead of just having one clear way to work with federal immigration authorities, this muddies those waters. So we thought, let's see about repealing that. And what I would add is that seldom, especially here in Oregon, do voters have a say in any immigration policies that are foisted upon us. They are virtually all legislated. We have a near supermajority of Democrats in the Oregon legislature, and they have plans for how they want Oregon to look. And so they're passing legislation as fast as they can to try and give benefits to people that are here illegally. And repealing this one statute will help to dial back those kinds of policies.
Cynthia Kendall is our guest this morning here on the Jefferson Exchange. She's a representative of the group Stop Oregon Sanctuaries, a group that helped get Measure 105 on the ballot for the November election in Oregon. Cynthia, a number of sheriffs have signed a letter supporting Measure 105. I guess exactly half of Oregon sheriffs have done so.
That is correct.
And we invited some of the sheriffs who have signed letters of support from our listening area to be on the program this morning, but unfortunately, due to their schedules, we were not able to get any of them to appear. But can you summarize their concerns?
Well, yes. I think that they, too, feel bound by this outdated statute. It keeps them from, and I want to clarify something, because our opponents are really working hard to get this convoluted message across, that if we repeal 181A820, then suddenly law enforcement is going to begin racial profiling. And that's just ridiculous. All this does is allow law enforcement to cooperate with federal immigration authorities when they come in contact with somebody that's been stopped, has been arrested for a crime, has somehow come in contact with police. This is not a phrase that they use frequently, is an arm of Trump's deportation force, which is just ridiculous. This is just so that if they have contact with somebody, they can notify ICE and say, hey, we have so-and-so here. Is this someone you're interested in? It's hard for people to understand that there are only about 6,000 ICE officers, Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers, in the entire United States, and about 1,000 of them are dedicated to working on terrorism issues. So we have about 5,000 officers to cover the entire United States. So the likelihood that someone is going to come in contact with an ICE officer is pretty remote. Local law enforcement is far more likely to come in contact with somebody who would that ICE would be looking for. And so if they come in contact with them, they have an extensive criminal history, they can contact them and say, hey, we have this fellow. Are you interested in having them? That's all that this is about. This is not about going out and looking for people to harass, which is what our opponents are constantly. They're trying to drum up fear among immigrants. That, in fact, we had a grandpa and his two sons come to our booth at the Oregon State Fair. They had just come from the Democrat booth at the Oregon State Fair. And they said, we want an answer to this question, because they told us that if 105 is successful in being passed and the statute is repealed, that brown people, this was their quote from this booth, brown people can be arrested, detained, and deported with no explanation.
Cynthia Kendall is our guest this morning. She is a representative of the group Stop Oregon Sanctuaries. They support the repeal of Oregon Sanctuary Law, which is Measure 105 that will be on the November ballot in Oregon. You can join the conversation by calling us at 800-838-3760, or you can email us at jx@jeffnet.org. Cynthia, you mentioned racial profiling. Wasn't the original impetus behind this law in 1987 exactly that?
As far as I know, there were...
I believe it was in Polk County, there were law enforcement officers who were stopping people based solely on their appearance or their last name, many of whom were American citizens.
Well, I don't know that it was many. I know that there was an incident at a restaurant where a group of gentlemen was hassled by the police. And, of course, that is not acceptable. And we don't condone racial profiling at all. Sheriff Bergen from Clatsop County, that worked to get us the endorsement of these 18 sheriffs, said, you know, we are so far beyond that. This was 31 years ago, and we are so far beyond that. The training that his officers go through about how to properly select who you would go after for crimes and so forth, it completely puts an end to racial profiling. There are occasionally bad apples in law enforcement, just like there are in the medical profession or any other profession, and those people are very quickly identified, and they're retrained or they're let go, because we just can't do that anymore, and it's not acceptable, and we don't condone it. But what has happened is this statute has become a way for law enforcement officials, some use it as a reason that they can't identify people here illegally to ICE, and some people use it as an excuse. And so we would just like to remove that barrier and make it so that everybody's working together. People, local and federal officials, work together in many other fields, and so why not immigration? That's a question that nobody can seem to answer. Why can't we all work together? If we've got a criminal with a rap sheet a mile long, why can't we cooperate and say, hey, we've got this guy, come and get him? Why are we shoving him out the back door as ICE is coming in the front door to retrieve them? It's the perfect example of this, and maybe you're familiar with this, is Sergio Martinez. He's inadvertently become the poster child for this, but there's so many other situations. He was in custody in Multnomah County. Sheriff Reese in Multnomah County had him in custody. ICE was coming to get him. They wanted him, and Sheriff Reese let him go. He went on to brutally rape and beat one woman and steal her car, and then, in a parking structure, he attacked another woman trying to steal her car and almost beat her to death. Fortunately, he was arrested. He was convicted to 35 years, sentenced to 35 years in prison. But the story that goes beyond this is that if Sheriff Reese, and you will never see this in the news, if Sheriff Reese had turned him over to ICE as was requested, he would be in federal custody. But now he's here in Oregon in prison for 35 years at an estimated cost of over $1 million to Oregon taxpayers. So why is that a good policy?
I wanted to clarify something here, and correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding of the statute, and anybody can read the statute. In fact, you have it on your own website.
Yes, we do.
But my understanding of it is that it requires, you know, it prohibits, I guess is a better word, the expenditure of funds and resources of local law enforcement, but only in the case where somebody's only crime is being in the country illegally. So in the case of somebody who's committed a crime, is there a problem with, say, a local sheriff's office or local police department contacting ICE saying, hey, we just busted a guy for armed robbery. He's in the country illegally. Come get him.
Well, I hear varying responses to that question. A lot of offices, police and sheriff's offices, put out a list each day of who they have in custody. And then the onus is on ICE to say, yes, we want this person and this person. But if their crime that they're being held for is not considered a deportable crime, then they won't hold them. Or they will only hold them for the amount of time if they make bail, like this gentleman that just was drunk driving, allegedly, and hit a motorcycle with a young couple on it and killed them both. He had been arrested for drunk driving before. He had had an incident when he was driving that day, a physical property incident, and then he went on to hit these two people. They let him go on bond. They put a $500,000 bond on him and then reduced it down to, I don't know, 5% or something very minuscule, and they let him go. And there was such outrage about the fact that he's a flight risk, big time. So then they finally brought him back and said, oh, okay, we'll hold him. But why would they not hold him and turn him over to ICE? I'm just perplexed. And if you read the fine print on this, it says they may turn them over. It doesn't say they must. It says they may. So that's that one little word is huge. And so there's so much pressure from the advocates for people that are here illegally to not separate families and, you know, let them go and put them back in the community. And we wreak havoc doing this for the safety for everybody, even in the immigrant communities. And our opponents constantly tell us that immigrant communities are afraid of ICE and they don't want them around. But if they're removing the criminals from their community, I can't imagine that would be a bad thing.
Cynthia Kendall is our guest this morning here on the Jefferson Exchange. She represents the group Stop Oregon Sanctuaries. They are supporting Measure 105 on the November ballot in the state of Oregon to repeal Oregon's so-called sanctuary law. If you'd like to join the conversation this morning, you can call us by phone, 800-838-3760, or shoot us an email, jx@jeffnet.org. So, Cynthia, you mentioned a few moments ago that a list is generated of people that that ICE is looking for, and that you referenced Sergio Martinez and that his crime was not considered a deportable crime, or there are at least examples of people whose crimes are not considered deportable crimes. Isn't this really more of a problem with ICE than it is with local law enforcement?
It's yes and no. Local law enforcement requires a bench warrant to release somebody to ICE. And those aren't as easy to get. You have to go get a judge. You have to make your case. You have to have this issued. And a lot of times the holding time for the people that they have in custody is so short. It's a quick turnaround, and they set them go. They let them go. And the advantage of working with ICE to remove criminal aliens from our communities is that if they're in the jails or at the courthouse or in a controlled circumstance, it's much safer for both the officer doing the removing and for any collateral population around them. If they go into a home where there's children, where there could be weapons, you know, that's much less safe than if they're taking them into custody as they're being released from jail. So this is all that this is about, is working together to remove criminal aliens from our state. And for whatever reason, as I look at the long laundry list of proponents of 105, or opponents, I'm sorry, the opponents of 105, I was looking at this list the other day and I was thinking, why? I don't understand why all of these people support keeping this statute. And as I was examining it, I realized it's because virtually everyone on that list benefits from having people here illegally.
How so?
Well, wineries, dairies, businesses that benefit from the illegal alien labor. I had a woman at a community action when I was collecting signatures, community action organization, which is a tax-funded organization, say, oh, no, I don't support that at all. I don't support that at all. And I said, can you tell me why? And she said, if we get rid of illegal aliens, I'll lose my job. So we've almost developed a cottage industry catering to people that are here breaking our laws, and people are becoming more and more reliant upon that. Businesses, I had Senator Peter Courtney, who is my senator and the president of the Oregon Senate, told me that Oregon would go bankrupt if we didn't have illegal aliens living here. And I pointed out, we spend about $1.2 billion annually having people and providing services to people here illegally. So why is it such a horrendous thing to try and find ways to remove the most dangerous of them from our communities? And they have no answer. They have no answer for that. It's all about trying to make it about racial profiling, which it has nothing to do, because a criminal alien from Norway is just as dangerous as one from Brazil, which is just as dangerous as one from Canada. So it doesn't matter, and they've really tried to ramp this up, making it about the shape of your eyes will get you arrested and deported. It's just nuts. So we just want to remove dangerous criminal aliens that have contact with police. We want to get them in contact with ICE. We want ICE and the local and state police to all work together to remove criminal aliens from our communities.
So a big part of this is obviously is crime and fear of crime. So do you have statistics, or are there statistics from other organizations that show that illegal immigrants commit, say, a higher number of crimes than one would expect based on their percentage of the population? Because it seems to me logical, if I'm in a country illegally, the last thing I'm going to want to do is to be on the radar screen of local law enforcement.
Sure, you'd think that, wouldn't you? It depends on what you consider a crime. If you step over the border, you are in our country illegally, and that's a civil crime, is my understanding. But what you do from there moves the needle quite a bit further down the road. If you, well, in fact, I'll share an incident. A young man told me that his family, his pregnant mother, his two older brothers, and his younger sister, who was severely disabled, crossed the border, stayed in a safe house, bought a fraudulent Medicaid card for his sister, drove to Salem, immediately took her to OHSU for care using this fraudulent medical card. They bought, in Woodburn, they bought phony driver's licenses. They all got jobs. They had three different cars that they were all driving. You can't get an Oregon driver's license in Oregon if you're here illegally. They didn't have insurance. They had jobs where they got paid under the table. So are those crimes or not? If you were doing that, would that be a crime?
Are you speaking, is that a rhetorical question?
Well, a little bit. I'm just saying, they say they commit crimes at far lower value, or incidence of crime is much lower among immigrants. And I say, and I want to stress, illegal immigrants. I think that we turn a blind eye to the very crimes that they commit to try and make it not be so egregious. One of the arguments that our opponents use, when we were working to defeat the driver's card bill, is they need their driver's license so they can drive back and forth to their jobs. It is illegal for them to be working here. If they're in our country illegally, they cannot be working. If they're working here illegally, how are they being paid? If they're being paid under the table, they're not only committing identity theft, they're committing tax fraud, and they're driving here illegally, and they're likely driving without insurance. Do we just keep turning a blind eye to that and say, well, that's, you know, they have to do that to be able to get back and forth to work, and they're not supposed to be working? So it's just, it's like we've just completely diminished the values of our laws. And the people that are the most outraged, but they're in sort of a predicament, are the people that have come here legally, that have gone through the process, have paid the fees, have filed the paperwork, have gone through the inspection and done all that, and then somebody just marches right by them and says, I don't want to go through all of that, I'll just come in here illegally, and then we do nothing about it. We just let them be here. But a problem is created by allowing people to be here. They maybe marry a U.S. citizen and then have some kids that are U.S. citizens, or maybe they bring some kids with them. And so it's getting all muddied, and we just keep perpetuating this and saying, well, the only way to fix this is to just legalize everybody or just turn a blind eye to all of this. So we've got this whole segment of the population that has special privileges, that they can break all of these laws, and that's okay. But if you or I tried to do that, it would not be okay.
Cynthia Kendall is representative of the group Stop Oregon Sanctuaries, a group that is supporting Measure 105 on the November ballot in Oregon, which would repeal Oregon sanctuary law. And you can, I guess that's pretty much it for the hour, getting the cue here. We would like to encourage people to participate in the program. Just a reminder that we are going to have the opponents of Measure 105 on the program tomorrow morning at this same time. Cynthia, thanks for joining us here on the Jefferson Exchange. We really appreciate you taking the time to explain your position.
Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.